Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
We are going to conclude our sermon series today called How to Respond to Uncertain Times. And if you have your Bibles, want to follow along, we're going to be in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Now, the word I want to focus in on today is the word follow. The man in the Old Testament who gives us a great example is someone who followed the Lord despite many uncertain times was a man by the name of Joseph. But before we look at his life, I want to get started in this way. We live in a society that has begun to place much more emphasis on being leaders, and I think that's a good thing. There's all kinds of leadership books, whether in secular or religious bookstores, and they're big sellers to people who hope to improve their leadership skills. And there is no doubt that we need leaders today, right? We need leaders in our homes. We need leaders in the workforce. We need leaders in our communities. And without a shadow of a doubt, we need leaders in our churches. Many people, if you would ask them, would say that they would rather be known as a leader than a follower. I came across this story I thought was interesting. It was about a young woman who wanted to go to college, but her heart sank when she read one of the questions on the application form that she was filling out. And the question simply asked, are you a leader? Well, she wanted to be honest. She wanted to be conscientious. So she just wrote, no. Then she returned the application, expecting the worst. To her surprise, she received a letter back from the college that said this, dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year, our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it's imperative we have at least one follower. I thought that was pretty good. Now, we should all desire to be leaders, at least in the sense of having influence on other people. But we all need to remember that true leadership rises from the ranks of those who know how to follow and who never forget to keep following God by following his son, Jesus Christ. As we will see, Joseph was a man who, despite many times of uncertainty, continued to follow God. He remained faithful to God's word. So we're going to take a brief look at Joseph's life, see what can be learned so that we can continue to follow our Lord. But as we always do, before we get started, we need God's help. Let's go to him, ask for that help, his wisdom, his understanding, as we spend these few moments in his word. Let's pray. Father, you've given us so many wonderful truths. And today we're going to talk about the story of a guy that, wow, if there was anyone that went through uncertain times, he sure did. And yet he continued to follow you. And we thank you for that example. And I pray as we kind of review the story of Joseph's life that we'll be able to make applications in our lives, that you will help us when we face uncertain times to follow. Keep following you. Keep knowing that you're there, just as Joseph did. So, Lord, I need your help to present this in a way pleasing to you. And I do pray it will be helpful to those who are here and those who are listening. And we give you praise for the many, many wonderful examples that we find in your word of people who did continue to follow you. Thank you. Bless your word. Give us your wisdom and understanding. We will give you the praise in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. The starting point for this message is Genesis chapter 37. Let's get started, and as you know I like to do, let me give you a quick background of what's happening. Joseph came from what we might describe as a very dysfunctional family. All right? Now, the good thing was he was living with his mother and his father, but there were also three stepmothers and 10 stepbrothers, all living at the same house at the same time. And yet Joseph became one of the greatest success stories that we read about in the entire Bible. It's a story where he kind of ends up with a hole in the ground. Then he goes to a palace. Then he goes to a prison. From home to the pit to greatness. Eventually becoming a leader of the world's largest nation. Joseph got it right in the way that he lived. Starting at the age of 17 for the next 13 years of uncertainties, Joseph stayed faithful and followed God. At the beginning of Genesis 37, we're told that Joseph was his father Jacob's favorite son, and Jacob openly displayed his favoritism, even giving Joseph a multicolored coat. The result from that was that Joseph's brothers got very jealous of him, and they began to despise him. And things got even worse when Joseph gave his dad a bad report about his brothers, and then he revealed his dreams to both his father and his brothers that one day they would all bow down to him. Now, how do you think that made his brothers feel? Oh, man. I mean, they really got angry with Joseph now. And soon they would be given the opportunity to take their revenge. So things are about to become very uncertain as far as Joseph's life is concerned. Here's the first point I want you to remember about Joseph. Joseph never gave up. He continued to follow God because, first, Joseph knew that God had not and would not forsake him. Now, he would need to remember that because of what happened next. While Joseph's brothers were away tending to their father's flocks, Joseph was sent by Jacob to check on them. So here comes Joseph, and his brothers see him. And he's wearing this multicolored coat. Well, they got so upset, they decided right then and there they were going to kill Joseph. But the oldest brother, Reuben, talked them into just throwing him into a pit, deciding he was going to later come and rescue his brother. Genesis 37, verse 23 says, "So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the multicolored tunic or coat that was on him." Now, they obviously did not like that symbol that showed Joseph's favorite son status. So they stripped him of it. And then the Bible says they threw him into an empty, waterless pit. Now, when I read this, I cannot even begin to imagine what must have been going through Joseph's mind. His own brothers had just stripped him, threw him into a pit with no way out and no water to drink. And we think today that we have family problems. We don't know what Joseph was thinking as he was in that pit, but we do know one thing. God was sending a caravan of merchants his way to rescue him. With Reuben absent, Joseph's other brothers decide to sell him into slavery and then convince their father that he had been killed by wild animals. The traders who bought Joseph took him to Egypt and sold him at a slave auction. Genesis 37, verse 36 says, "Meanwhile, the Midianites sold him, Joseph, in Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer, the captain of the bodyguard." Now, here's all I want you to remember. Joseph is 17 years old at this time. He goes to Egypt. He doesn't speak Egyptian. So here he is in a strange land with strange talking people, and he's been sold at a slave market. So one minute, he's a 17-year-old boy with all his life ahead of him, and the next minute, he's a slave whose only prospect is a life of forced labor. How could things get any worse for Joseph? Well, Potiphar took Joseph home with him and very quickly realized just how capable Joseph was. He was honest. He was dependable. God blessed him. And so Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his entire household. And things were going well until Potiphar's sleazy wife decides she wants to have a sexual relationship with him. And so she begins to pursue him. But Joseph was very trustworthy. Despite being powerfully tempted, Joseph remained focused on following God and the principles found in his word. And I love what he said to Potiphar's wife. Genesis 39 verse 9 tells us, Joseph said, "There is no one greater in this house than I, and he, Potiphar, has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" What a response to temptation. Would you agree? That's how Joseph responded. Well, the wife got spurned, so she claimed Joseph tried to attack her. What was Joseph's reward for being faithful? Potiphar had Joseph put into prison, where he stayed for many years. That was his reward. Have you ever been falsely accused or attacked? It can turn a normal person into a bitter person very easily. But Joseph was far from a normal man. One of the things we must keep in mind as we examine Joseph's life is that God is not as much interested in our circumstances as he is in our response to our circumstances. What Joseph learned from his father, he put to work when he was a slave. Much of what he learned as a slave, he put to work when he was in prison. And I noticed one thing that I believe was a result of Joseph staying faithful in following God. Four times in chapter 39, we're told that while Joseph was going through his uncertain times, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph, or the Lord was with him. I'm just going to read one of those times. Verse 23 says this: "The warden of the prison did not supervise anything under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and the Lord made whatever he did prosper." Joseph did not deserve to be in prison, but he responded to it beautifully. What is important was the way in which his character grew during his imprisonment. In similar circumstances, another man might become harsh or bitter or withdrawn, not Joseph. You see, we always have two choices during uncertain times. We can become bitter and disillusioned, or we can use our difficulties as a means of displaying our hope and our trust in God. False accusations put Joseph in prison, but it was God who stayed near him and encouraged him while he was there. Now, you may have never had an actual prison experience, but when it seems like you have been locked up by your own circumstances, the quickest and easiest response is often to feel like God has forgotten you. When things aren't great, it's tempting to think that God is not interested in the details of our lives. When fear threatens to overwhelm us, we need to stop and remember, God is still with us. No promise of Scripture is more comforting than the promise that God gave to Moses. He gave the same promise to Joshua, and he gives the same promise to all of his followers today. As recorded in Hebrews 13, verse 5, he himself, God himself, has said, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you." And despite our feelings sometimes to the contrary, God uses painful experiences to strengthen us. And the tragedy of our day, and this is frustrating to me, the tragedy of our day is that there are those prosperity theologians and preachers out there and on TV and church leaders who are teaching that if a Christian merely has enough faith in their life, they will never have to suffer. That's a lie right out of hell. That's where that comes from. The Bible does not teach that. Now, they would say that the death of Jesus provides deliverance from adversity and affliction, and he will deliver us. But had Joseph believed, if he only believed that if he had enough faith, he could instantly be delivered from his trouble, his faith would have been devastated by the fact that he was continually to have uncertain times. The truth is, God is not obligated to make us wealthy, to make us well-liked, or to make us free from any trouble. God has promised to be with those who belong to him wherever we find ourselves and to bring us to maturity, but he does not promise to pamper us, to keep us from any trials, providing our faith is strong enough. So we can learn a great lesson as we study the life of Joseph. He was a man who knew that God had not and would not forsake him, and that is the promise that we have from God in his word. Do you have that kind of confidence as you follow the Lord? Secondly, Joseph never gave up. He continued to follow God because Joseph saw every situation in life as a new opportunity for service. Eventually, Joseph was rewarded with a degree of freedom and unusual responsibility in the prison itself. And because he was free of bitterness, he became useful as a servant of God. Here's one way he did. The king's cupbearer, who was responsible for tasting the king's food and drink to make sure he was not going to be poisoned, and the king's baker, responsible for the food that the king ate, ended up in prison with Joseph. Now, we're never told the specifics of what happened to bring about this falling out with the king, but we know that they were trusted officials of Pharaoh's court. Genesis 40, verse 4 says this, "And the captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them." That phrase means he literally ministered to them, and they were in confinement for some time. It's remarkable the deep interest that Joseph took in these two men. He noticed their predicament, he inquired about their welfare, and he took the time to listen to their stories. So here's what happened. Both the cupbearer and the baker had dreams, and they didn't know how to interpret their dreams. They didn't know what they meant. Joseph volunteered to interpret their dreams as God would give him the insight. So even during his own adversity, Joseph is reaching out to help others. Ministering to the needs of others had two beneficial effects in Joseph's life, and they have these same two effects in our life. First, ministering to the needs of others will keep us from wallowing in self-pity. The truth is, there is no relief for sorrow like that of ministry to others. If you can do nothing else, you can at least listen to the needs of others and provide comfort and encouragement. Second, Joseph's faithful ministry in the prison opened the door for greater ministry in the palace. God enabled Joseph to interpret the dreams of both the baker and the cupbearer. The baker would be hanged. The cupbearer would be returned to his position. So after Joseph revealed to the cupbearer what was going to happen in his life, Joseph added a personal request found in Genesis 40, verse 14. "Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of prison." He wants to get out too. So he has to be remembered only after his words were proven to be true. So he in effect was saying his ability to interpret the dream would prove that he was telling the truth. Now it's important for us to remember that this passage is less about dreams than it is about God's timing. Exactly what Joseph predicted happened. So instead of sulking and blaming God or blaming others for his unjust imprisonment, Joseph used his time in prison as an opportunity to serve others. Now let's see how all this affects Joseph. Joseph never gave up. He continued to follow God. Third, Joseph chose to trust God regardless of his circumstances. So let's read what happens next. Genesis 40, beginning verse 21. Here's what the Bible says. "He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." You talk about disappointment. Instead of being remembered, instead of being rewarded, instead of being freed, Joseph was forgotten. 2 more years go by. For all he knows, he's going to be in prison forever. God is not answering his prayers. There's no signs. There's no miracles. There's no voices. There's nothing. Those 2 years must have been the darkest days of Joseph's life. Now, we're not told the reason that the cupbearer didn't keep his promise. All we're told is he did not remember Joseph but forgot him. After waiting patiently for several years for just this kind of opportunity, Joseph's hopes are once again crushed by cruel reality. Joseph was realizing what we all need to realize at times, the fact that people will let you down at some time or another. It's going to happen. No matter how good a person is or how hard a person tries, they will eventually let you down, at least in a small way. A vast number of our uncertainties come from placing our trust in something or someone other than God. So as disappointing as it must have been for Joseph to have been forgotten, an even better opportunity was coming. It was going to take another 2 years, but it would be worth the wait. And that is why today, as Christians, we should not fret when we lose a job. Yes, it's disappointing. It's frustrating. We shouldn't get too upset when we have a flat tire, when we have a bout with unexpected illness, or anything else for that matter, because the promise of Romans 8:28 still holds true. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Now, perhaps you're here today, and maybe it's been more than 2 years of waiting. You might not be in a literal prison. You're trapped by the unpleasant realities of life. You're trapped by circumstances over which you have no control and over which you cannot remove yourself. But you need to remember that your circumstances are never only what they appear on the surface. We do not know what miraculous events that God might be orchestrating through our situation. Our responsibility is to trust Him despite what our situation may look like. So here's what happened next for Joseph. The Pharaoh himself had a dream that no one could interpret, and he was furious. He wanted someone to interpret the dream for him. The cupbearer finally told Pharaoh about Joseph, who, through the help of God, interpreted Pharaoh's dream. So to summarize the next chapters in Joseph's life, he was finally elevated to the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, just under Pharaoh himself. And even though Joseph's conditions had gotten worse through the years, his attitude and faith kept getting stronger. If you fast forward a few more years, we're told that Joseph had the opportunity to meet his brothers again. And guess what they did when they came to Egypt? Instead of wanting to take revenge, they bowed down to him because they didn't know who he was. Just like that dream Joseph had back when he was a teenager. And his brothers bowed before him. Now Joseph knew who they were. He could have taken revenge for the mistreatment of those many years before, but he ended up bringing his entire family back with him to Egypt. Now, why was he able to do that? Joseph did not see himself as a victim. He saw himself as a servant, following God and allowing God to use him in accomplishing God's will for his people. And that is why, after Joseph's father, Jacob, died, his brothers were really concerned. They thought, oh man, Dad's dead now. What's he going to do to us? Is he going to punish us? No, Joseph responded in the right way. His statement to them reflected the faith he had in God and how God had worked through all of his uncertain times. And two of my favorite verses in the entire Old Testament, Genesis 50, verses 20 and 21. This is Joseph speaking to his brothers and said, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to keep many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. I mean, nobody would have blamed Joseph if he would have had his brothers punished or even killed for what they had done to him. But when you have God in your heart, it's hard to be mean to others. Joseph treated them like family, and he talked to them of his great faith. But more importantly, along with talking about his faith, he modeled his faith so his family could see it in action. Our response today must be like his. Now, maybe there's someone in your life right now that has done something to you that they meant for evil. Could be your boss, maybe an ex-spouse, maybe even your children, maybe it's a school teacher, maybe it's a neighbor. Yes, they may have meant what they did for evil, but what we need to remember is God meant it for good. Well, it's time to bring this message to a close, and I hope that one thing that you have learned today and throughout this sermon series is that God often does his greatest, his most significant, and his most amazing work during times of uncertainty. Now listen, uncertainty is a fact of life. It is not evidence of God's inactivity. This may be his most active time. So this is not the time for us to doubt. This is the time to follow closer than ever. You can trust him. When God has our undivided attention, we are positioned to grow in our faith. It is then when all we have is him, we discover he is all we need because he will always be with us. The good news for us today, we serve a God, we have a Heavenly Father who is a master of uncertainty. He does this all the time. He's in control. He has something in mind for you, your family, and his kingdom. So live as a man or a woman who is confident that God is with you. I like the following quote I want to end with. Keep looking in the road ahead and make sure Christ is there. Make sure he is walking in front of you. Keep walking with him and then look over your shoulder and you'll find there's someone following you because you are following Christ. And I believe that's true. You follow Jesus. Someday you'll look over your shoulder. Someone will be following you because you're following Jesus.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.